Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Arr, ahoy, crew members. Today's show is a service of our Amazon page. Please remember to shop Amazon, and when you do, go to MikeO'MaraShow.com/Amazon or click the Amazon link on our website. It's the best way to shop and the best way to support this show. Thank you.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
I want to be like every talk show that I listen to across the country. They wouldn't have been talking yet. Hey, welcome back to the talk.
The talk.
My name's Pete. How you doing today? How you doing, Annie? Good. What are we going to be talking about today? Heck of a game last night. Yeah. All right. Kick it! Don't believe me, just
watch. Hey, I've got a question.
Yeah, man.
When you're listening to 102.7, The Talk, and yes. Pete starts, and I don't think this is the beginning of Pete's show. This might
Annie's
be like...
Annie's his traffic reporter.
Oh, and Annie is his traffic reporter.
Hey, Annie. Have a good weekend.
Annie, you?
Yeah, Pete, I did. Yeah, I did, Pete.
I'm getting the feeling this might be the start of hour two of Pete, the Pete show on 102.7, The Talk.
Yes.
Is he actually... Is he using the record as a tool to pad? Because he's not ready to begin hour two.
Well, let me start it again.
Okay.
This is the way it went. This is, in my opinion, this is the way that it it would go. It would
okay.
Go like this.
Okay.
No talking right now. They come out of there all their elements with the, you know,
102.7 The Talk.
And then it just goes on for 25 minutes, and then they start talking. About nothing!
Nothing!
About nothing!
And wasn't that that template sort of laid out by Rush when he would start with the Pretenders record and
you
not say
what,
anything for a while?
It's weird. It's weird. You hear it a lot. I've been listening to a lot of radio down here, and you hear a lot of the... I don't know where that came from, where the... long musical stager came in where it just went on and on and on. And the I've always been very frustrated by it, by listening to a radio station where they have that musical stager after they have their elements.
Yeah.
You know, like it's now, and now here's Zippy and the Pinhead. and then they play the music and it goes on for 25 minutes. It frustrates
me. It was invented by Pete, Mike. Pete is not just the host.
Pete
is also Pete and Annie. Pete is the program director at 102.7 The Talk.
Yes,
he was asked to take that on after they had
And they're
some
certainly cuts. Not padding for anything special.
No. They're not delaying.
It's not
it
like they're doing
reveal.
Anything. They're just they're probably sitting there. It's radio, so you can't really look at it. Well, now you can, because everybody's got cameras in the studio. But they're probably sitting there just kind of going, we're so bored. We're so very, very bored. And that's probably the way it goes.
Well, Mike,
down.
After,
I don't know. Yes.
After 95 seconds of Uptown Funk, it's time to discuss Starbucks red coffee cups.
You know, the thing.
Hey, did you know? Hey, Annie, did you know that they never really said Merry Christmas? Sure, they had snowflakes on them, but now they're just plain red and people are seeing red. And you can call us by calling 1-800-207-TALK.
Starbucks red coffee cup. Yeah. The issue today. So you're gonna be participating in the boycott, are you? Are you gonna be participating in the boycott?
You know what he'd do? He'd do like 2.5 minutes, and then it would be 8 minutes after the hour, and he'd go, "Are you gonna participate in the boycott, Annie?" And that would be how he'd throw it to her, and she'd be at the
Annie,
traffic
I get my center. Coffee at the 7-Eleven anyway. I don't understand. I never understood the whole Starbucks thing. Anyway,
well, we have a Keurig here at Traffic Central, so it really doesn't apply. We all have our own mugs. We got them all, Pete, and that's the traffic.
Coffee, that is too damn funny. Hey, I want to say, sorry for the people over at WRQX, Q107, got rid of their whole morning team and their midday team. That is firing central, that building that I worked in. And I've been through that. When you see Bloodbath on the trade magazines,
right,
where people get fired, I just wanted to say sorry to all those people. I hate to see that, because it's so public and it's so sad, and it reminds me of what we all went through.
And I found out through Facebook, of all places, where one of the hosts, we're friends on Facebook, and
right,
he wrote, it was fun while it lasted, and I'm like, what? And I dug in and I said, oh, no.
They done it again.
Yep.
Oops. Again.
They did Flounder. It again. Flounder,
yes.
Said that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
This horrible business of radio.
It's such a horrible business. These are people that went into their jobs every single day, did a great job, were there on time, got up in the middle of the night to go in and do their jobs. And then just because there's a suit somewhere that says, hey, this isn't working, man, we're gonna flip the switch. And who knows? But the rumors are that my old friend Jack Diamond might be coming back to that radio station.
Oh, that'd be
so
nice.
I'm not sure.
For Jack.
I'm not sure what's going on. I will tell you this, and I say this with all good authority. No one called me. Thank you.
Did you check your voicemail?
No, I don't get calls about radio anymore.
Oh, okay.
I love radio.
Maybe
I'm passionate
have your
about
number.
Radio.
That could be it.
That could be it.
It is delisted, and you have a new email that nobody has.
That's right.
Yeah, so they don't know where to find you.
I would not be brought back to that radio station. Thank you very much. That's not, if they're going to do what I think they're going to do, and nobody knows. Nobody knows for sure. All I know is that this company, Cumulus Broadcasting, mm-hmm, that owns these radio stations, is very close to bankruptcy based on mismanagement.
On the brink.
And they're in very, very dire straits. And I'll tell you
one
thing.
Have you ever faced bankruptcy? Why don't you call us and tell us what you went through?
Let me tell you, the only reason I feel it's almost a just situation, that they are teetering on the edge of disaster, is because as far as I knew, following that company after, and by the way, I was out when they came in. As soon as they came in, they got rid of me. They did a firing before they even shook hands with me or met me. And so I think that it's my opinion that their only appreciable skill at that company is firing people, is blowing things up. No, let me hear me out here, because when you think about certain companies that are successful, they even in our broadcast business, they move kind of slow.
Yeah,
they didn't move slow at Cumulus Broadcasting. They would make their decisions very, very quickly, fire an air staff, bring them in there, and that would be it. And I know that after I left, I remember I was so mad at Jeff Bowden, who was the GM over mm-hmm. there, and Kenny King, because I kind of thought they were complicit. Well, they weren't complicit. They were being honest with me that they didn't know what was happening. So I publicly say to them, guys, I'm sorry that I was so testy, but of course I was getting fired, so I was concerned about that. But they just slash and burn, man. And then, they wake up one morning and their stations aren't making any money. And everybody they fired, maybe there were some pretty talented people that had very lengthy careers that you maybe should have kept in the same building, but they didn't do that because that's not what they do. And so I think at the end of the day, they're getting bitten in the ass about it. Now, listen, companies that don't do that get bitten in the ass in our business, too. Radio revenues across the country have declined. They're going down. But at the same time, this company, man, I remember, they were mean. They were mean, and they let people go all the time. So
I think the strategy,
Mike, it gets easier the more it happens.
And also probably their strategy is if they think that firing people is going to save money and they're verging on bankruptcy, their thought is not stop firing people, it's fire more people. We just haven't fired enough people.
That's not the logic. The logic is that they basically Cumulus, and there was a great article a couple weeks ago in Radio Insights that talks about how these big radio companies have homogenized radio overall.
Homogenized?
Thank you.
Hold on a second. Homogenized.
Homogenized radio
like
overall.
Milk.
Yes.
Yes. Homogenized radio overall. where you just don't have enough competition to draw in some serious listenership. Everything sounds the same, so nobody can actually attach themselves to a radio
station.
Talk
to me about that, because I thought that, but I thought that based on my own opinion. I didn't know that there were somebody breaking out statistics about it, because that is what it is. Is that what's wrecked
and
it
for
everybody?
I'll send you the article, and really it alleges and it chronicles what happened across these major markets, where if you think about it, when we were younger, and Mike, you were actually on the radio when this was happening, when you could actually give away a Power Porsche, or you could give away $10,000 for every day of the week during sweeps week, or your radio, whatever it is, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And if you're radio contesting, when the tide turned, where you would have these national contests where one person would win across the country $1,000.
Let me stop Oscar right there and explain what this is, because I actually heard one on the local sports station down here. They were giving $1,000 away, and they actually have to come out now and say it very clearly that
sure.
This is a multi-radio station in multi-city contest. So they are giving $1,000 away, but it's not from that radio station. It's from 500 radio stations.
Mm-hmm. Is it from iHeart Bad Radio? Is that the person who's doing it?
It's so watered down now, and that's similar to the content that you have, where everybody's doing the same thing. And really, I mean, it's insane. It's insane.
So ideally, you don't have your quote-unquote favorite or home team station anymore, because everything is the same. And to that point, you also have these big companies that own multiple properties. So God forbid they'll create some competition within their own cluster, because they don't want to hurt their other station.
I hadn't even thought of that.
Which in turn has hurt the overall talent base that comes to this type of format, because you're really not fostering the growth of a talent and listenership if everything is the same. And if they can find the same on satellite or the internet that they can on the radio, why not listen to the internet or satellite? The only reason radio still exists is because of stations like KCJJ that are owner-operated, that really
serve the community.
Serve the community and actually take care of the people that are in the community.
You know what I remember? When I used to listen to you, Mike, I used to be afraid to turn the radio off lest I miss something. There was that kind of excitement when you listened to a powerful, exciting, well-programmed station. You didn't want to miss it. That attitude has slowly shifted to, don't do anything to make anyone have enough emotion to change the station. They've gone from active to passive.
There is a news station in Washington, D.C. that our listeners that are from that area will know, WTOP. And when I read the other day that they were having layoffs, and I said, oh, my God. You are talking about a record setter for making money. Absolutely printing money. It's down a little bit. What are they doing? They're firing people. They're firing talent. Oscar said it before. It's such a horrible business.
Yep.
It's so cruel. And I was sitting there going, they're reporting to their powers that be that keep the ledger, where they could lose $10 million a year and still be vastly profitable, And as soon as they have a little dip in revenue, they're canning some people over there.
Cash flow, man.
Absolutely, absolutely stunned. So,
and it's disrespectful to the listener. Is really what it boils down to.
The logic that we get to do this with the wonderful listeners we have. Count our blessings every day, gentlemen.
You bet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you do. But at the same time, I still because that's where I come from. I would love to see it get back to being the way it used to be. I really would. I love doing the podcast. Don't get me wrong. And I love the format that, look, this is what I want to do right now. This is the way it is. But I always listen to radio and I just sit there and I say, when I say that, it is the land of same.
Yep.
There is nothing to listen to. It is so incredible.
I bet you saw it.
Even the music is just so homogenized.
I bet you saw
it's
it when
amazing.
You were driving south, when you went from Maine to Florida.
Oh,
I know you
God,
had a stop here,
impossible.
But every market you went to, I bet
sound
it
like
sounded
like Robert De Niro. It's impossible. It's impossible.
Mom! But it's Mom. Every market you went through, I bet you found exactly the same. And it used to be so much fun to drive around and pop around the dial, because you'd find something. Mm-hmm. But you
don't in my anymore. Hometown, WDRC. We had the DJs, you know, we wanted to be, and they'd talk about going down to the local coffee shop. That's what they'd done,
right.
And it just doesn't exist anymore. And, you know, even when I was there, we all wanted to be syndicated, and that was the part of the thing. But back in the day, you know, and it's a money issue, don't get me wrong. It's pure and simple dollars, but, you know, Oscar's right. If they probably were thinking a little clearer, they all want to be so national. They look, people that own local radio stations, they say,
well,
we're not going to be able to make money on the local level, so we have to tie in to a national format so that we can raise our revenue.
Ideally, I mean, it's a grouping of the stations. So if a radio station has 10 markets in the top, 10 stations, the top 10 markets, they can sell as a group, right?
Right.
So that makes complete sense. I
sales
get
power.
That.
Sales power.
But you have a problem when you're not fostering local talent. And I say that with bias, clearly, because we're local talent, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mike National, clearly. But I would say that when you have the ability to do both, that's when you would really win. When you have local talent that and you're focusing locally, you're putting those dollars by really investing those dollars into your listenership. Mm-hmm. Not just on the talent salary side. I'm talking about the contesting, the fun, the uniqueness, the what we used to love about the old legendary WHFS when it was legendary and it wasn't corporate. What we used to love about WAVA and then WJFK before it really went corporate, right? Mm-hmm. Before Janet Jackson. It just, even after Janet Jackson, we were there. We did some fun things that so many events that I sat there. We used to have an event, Big On News, called Food Stock, where people will just come and eat food at a stadium.
My first event ever.
I don't see that anymore, right?
No, they don't do it. And speaking of fun, and I'll ask our general manager, Oscar Santana.
Yes.
Speaking of fun, I'd like to do something fun.
Okay.
I would like our listeners to design a TMOS Christmas t-shirt.
Oh, nice.
Oh, for the holidays.
Yeah. That's awesome.
A TMOS Christmas t-shirt.
Yes.
You know, send us your designs, and we'll pick out a design. And
the
Oscar
winner
will tell me that we can't afford to print
them. We can do it now,
up,
Mike.
We can do it now?
Yes.
Okay. So a TMOS Christmas t-shirt. Now,
all we have to do, Mike, all we have to do to afford the t-shirt is fire two people.
Hey, Pony, so if we just get the TMOS Christmas t-shirt on the front, we can put our legitimate MikeOMaraShow.com logo somewhere on there.
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah, we can do that. So all the people that are designing it have
just
to worry
one
about
side, Mike.
I'm just saying, because I want to make sure that we have MikeOMaraShow.com, because I don't want it just to say TMOS with
Mike,
nothing else.
Yeah,
on
they
the
can
t-shirt.
Just give us their design. We can deal with the rest.
Right,
and we can deal with the rest. I'd like to do something.
Can
like
we do a Hanukkah as well?
Yeah, we should really be inclusive.
Mm-hmm.
Mm, holiday t-shirt.
Maybe
no.
Hanukkah on the front.
No,
Christmas
what about
on the
Kwanzaa?
Back.
Yeah.
No.
Come on.
We're doing a TMOS, a holiday t-shirt.
What about
it's
a red
t-shirt.
Cup?
How about season's greetings from America's favorite podcast?
That's it. It's official, Rob. After you said that, I'm boycotting this show too.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomaraShow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
Roger. Ah, Mrs. Bialystock and Bloom, I presume. Forgive the pun.
What pun?
Shut up, he thinks he's witty. Good to see you again, Roger. Did you get a chance to read Springtime for Hitler?
A stunning piece of work.
Max, he's wearing a dress.
No kidding.
I, for one, think it is a very important play. Oh, dear. You're staring at my dress. I should explain. I'm going to the choreographer's ball tonight. That is a prize for the best costume.
And we always win.
I'm not so sure about tonight.
What do you think?
Well,
now be cruel. Be brutal. Because heaven knows they will. What do you think, Mr. Bloom?
Where do you keep your wallet?
It's gorgeous. It's gorgeous. You couldn't have picked a better color. That dress is you.
Light his cigarette. He likes you.
Didn't I meet you on a summer cruise?
I've never been on a summer cruise.
Huh. Quel dommage.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana.
And now, from his office chair, here's Mike.
Light his cigarette. He likes you.
You are such an old
queen.
So funny, though.
I'm right there with you. Anyway, coming to you live from the Cappy Fiber Studio in the heart of our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., this is the Mike O'Mara Show. On the air, online, worldwide, the Mike O'Mara Show, a daily radio show and podcast with the greatest listeners on the planet because they get it. If you're here, you do too. Welcoming back CH Wine, Cameron Hughes Wine, to the show. Woo! Very happy about that. The best wine comes from the best vineyards, but sometimes those vineyards make a little too much wine. I've been enjoying Cameron Hughes Wine for a couple of years now. I love Cameron Hughes. They find premium vineyards that have just a little extra of their best wines. Then they buy those extra bottles and sell direct to customers. We've gotten great reviews from our listeners who have enjoyed Cameron Hughes Wine, and during the holiday season, you should do the same thing. They allow you to drink the exact same wine that you'd find at expensive high-end wineries, but you're paying a lot less, 40% to 80% less. Cameron Hughes recently received two of the top three spots for top value Cabernet from Wine Spectator. That's no slouch, people.
Right.
Not to mention hundreds of gold, double gold, and platinum medals. Why serve mediocre wine to your guests or yourself when you can serve fantastic wine at a fantastic price? And Cameron Hughes is the way to do it. We had a bunch of people, the McFiggins, out on the patio.
Yes,
McFiggins.
2 weekends ago, we had the McFiggins out on the patio. I busted out the Cameron Hughes wine, and it got incredible reviews. They're available, Cameron Hughes, nationwide. But we convinced Cameron to make this exclusive online offer for our listeners. Free shipping and a free sommelier corkscrew at $25 value. These wines are already a great deal, and this offer makes it a no-brainer. The only way to get the free shipping and free sommelier corkscrew is to go to chwine.com. Click the microphone in the upper left and enter TMOS. That's chwine.com. Click the mic and enter TMOS. Don't wait. This deal won't last. I want you to go online and order some today. chwine.com.
The best. And Cameron Hughes is a real guy. We've met him. He's great. Mm-hmm. And the wine is unreal.
Stands by his product.
You bet.
So yesterday, I throw this out for the purpose of self-diagnosis.
All right.
I was ill last night, and not throwing up or anything like that. And
you'd be ill?
Not a cold. I yesterday afternoon, about probably mid-afternoon, I started feeling just a tiny little soreness in my throat. And oddly enough, I had a couple of doctor's appointments, a chiropractor and my gut doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm running around, and it just started to get worse and worse. And I just have a nasty little throat. And then I'm sitting there last night, and it gets worse. Then I start to feel that whole achy joint thing where your whole body starts to ache. And I'm totally weirded out by it because I haven't been around anybody, but you never know when you're going to pick something up.
Your son is actually going to a hot zone,
preschool.
Right? He's going to a hot zone, though.
Yeah. Your little son, right. Petri O'Mara.
Yes. Well, he had a fever last week.
He goes in.
We thought it was teething, and you know, I've got a lot of money on the line for my fantasy football team with the Monday night game with a receiver, Stevie Johnson, that I have going. And so I'm actually, I crap out at 8:30. I am just.
Wow.
Carla gives me a blast of NyQuil, and I roar into the bedroom, and suddenly I get the chills, which, incidentally, next to having pain or being really sick, is one of my least favorite feelings.
When I'm with you.
It's scary.
So, where you start shivering
because
you're just so, you don't know what it is.
Did you take your temperature?
As a matter of fact, I had a doctor's appointment in the afternoon. My temperature was normal. Mm-hmm. And then my temperature was normal last night right before I went to bed. And
did you take it
there,
the most accurate way?
The fun way?
Rectally?
Yes.
Oh. The fun way.
What is the matter with you, Matt?
Gross. No, my God.
He's all excited for some reason. Don't get worked up. How gross is that?
I took the NyQuil. Uh-huh. I'm on my second hit of DayQuil today. I'm on my second hit of DayQuil today. And the only thing, because I just thought you would get, what I'm not getting is worse and worse and worse. I'm getting actually better. And so this is less than 24 hours.
But are you better?
I don't have a cold.
Do you have just that sort of DayQuil dull fuzziness?
I just don't feel as bad. I've gotten out. I've done some yard work today. I've actually prepped the show. I feel good. I was active with my kid. Everything's fine.
Okay.
And I think, you know, I'm taking the medicine because I think that's the right thing to do. But I can only think, this is the only aberration from my day yesterday. I had lunch with Mrs. O'Mara, and I swear to God, I ordered sushi in this restaurant, and they brought out, I S you not, they brought out a boat a wooden boat. There was more raw fish on this wooden boat. It was $21 of sushi.
The $21 sushi boat?
It was the $21 sushi boat sashimi, which is really just the raw fish.
Right.
The sushi is when you put the raw fish over the rice. But yeah. I ate like I've never eaten that much sushi in one setting, and I'm wondering, is there a chance that could have somehow?
What time did you eat, and what time did the symptoms begin?
Noon and 6 o'clock. Noon and 3 o'clock.
3 o'clock. No. 3 hours is what a doctor once told me. That's the time it takes for food poisoning to manifest itself.
But I didn't feel sick to my stomach.
It would have been both ways. Like, he would have been fever and then his stomach maybe, and then you'd be in the bathroom.
Maybe he has got such a strong constitution that he fought it off except for a little bit. It just got him a little bit.
No, yeah, man, it's got the immune system of, you know, a patient with low T cells.
No. This guy is strong and better than ever.
What are you talking about me like I'm not in the room for Christ's sake?
Oh, I forgot. We forgot to pull the curtain.
This man has been hospitalized more than someone going through some sort of cancer treatment.
Hey, he spends more time in a hospital than a nurse.
Hey, Mr. Man, I haven't been near a medical professional in almost 1 year's time.
Didn't you just go yesterday?
I said that was the year. I was in the hospital last year. You guys remember last year?
Yes.
I remember the two weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, I'm doing okay. And then I got a real pat on the back from my gut doctor who said, congratulations on losing the weight. And,
when you went to the chiropractor, did you get a pat on your gut from your back doctor?
No, I did not get a pat on my gut.
You know who just sounded like? You sounded like Buzz Burbank when he was like, I feel invincible.
Oh, no.
I don't feel invincible. I don't feel invincible.
Fish was suspect.
That's cake.
Look, all I know, I'm not sitting here sneezing, coughing. I'm not throwing up. I'm not doing it. But I had this dull ache on throat, but it's not gotten worse.
Right.
And I'm sitting, I have no idea.
Flu.
What the deal
Definitely
is.
Definitely the flu.
Could be a touch of the flu.
If it was the flu, I'd be sick.
Well, you don't have a touch of the flu. You don't have the full-blown flu.
Oh, influenza light.
Yeah, light. And have you gotten your flu shot?
No.
Gotta get that flu shot.
You do.
Well, I can't get it now if I'm sick, right? I'm not supposed to get it when I'm sick.
Well, right? you're feeling better, though, right?
Well, I'm feeling ready.
I would say you should make an appointment this weekend.
What?
Right?
Yeah. Don't get your flu shot at Target like I did.
I'm going to go to the CVS and get it. I'm going to
Don't get it at a
drugstore. I'm not going to go to a doctor to get the flu shot. It's cheap at the drugstore. Why should I do? What are you drinking, Oscar? What is that? Muscle milk?
Muscle milk.
Yeah. Muscle milk.
It's out of date muscle milk.
That is really, that you know, for a healthy guy,
yes.
That is some of the worst crap you can put in your body.
What is
you
know it? That? Is it real milk?
No.
It's got chemicals in it. It's got lots of chemicals in it. It's not healthy.
Is this worse than a Big Mac?
Not worse than a Big Mac. It's
there
not.
We go.
It's like a meal supplement. But is it a bad thing to go to the drugstore?
Well,
to get my flu shot?
I got tricked into it by Carrie. Because
why did you hate it at Target?
Are you a
why
flu you shot that? Snob?
Well,
you
no,
know what? Hold
I
on. We're on another subject. I have to break. We
already
have the ads in it all. So I want to ask you about that because you did get it done at Target.
And I'm against my will.
Such a goddamn
against my will.
All right. We're going to take a break. Come back with Rob. I hope you reacted like you did all those years on the radio.
Oh, yeah. Scream my head off, Mike.
There you go. We'll take a break. Come back with more on the mic.
Tony and Gary.
Hey there, boys and girls. I'm Tony Perkins.
I'm Gary Stein.
And on this week's episode of the show, the two-man march.
How are you? Oh, you're with Big Bus Tours.
Yeah, do you mind if I get a picture with you?
Did you stop your bus for that?
Yes, sir.
That's your bus of tours?
Yeah.
And you stopped so you could run over and take a picture?
With you, that's all I
want. Or do you think they're happy about that?
I just begged them the permission.
We're doing the two-man march today in support of good causes. What do you think about that?
Oh, that's a good thing to do.
Very good. Did you tell them who I was?
Yeah, I did. Everybody was like, wow, you're a lucky person to get a picture with him.
Thank you very much.
I love your voice. Every morning, I love your voice.
Oh, thank you very much. I appreciate
Every
that.
Every morning.
Thank you.
Every morning.
The best tour bus stop for us.
The Tony
now that he's
Perkins
doing
the
Show. Tony Perkins Show. Those guys are having a blast. I do want to book them sometime before the holiday if we can. I would love to get them in studio. Yes,
just for some quick context, I got this from Rofo. It was those double-decker red tour buses they have in D.C. They were just shooting their segment.
Right.
And they stopped. The guy stopped the bus, the tour of the DC monuments, to get a picture with Tony.
Yeah,
like
the driver.
On the bus.
The driver says to two deckers, of course, wait here a second, but he's on the news, so I'm going to be right back.
They're having a blast. Tell Rofo, get those guys in the studio. I'd love to have them on before the holidays.
You bet.
Okay? Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by our Amazon MVP. You can be our MVP. Just make the Mike O'Mara Show Amazon most valuable purchase. All you have to do is shop through our Amazon page and then tell us what you bought by emailing us at MVP@MikeO'MaraShow.com. MVPs will be featured on the show. Isn't that right, Rob Spiewak?
We have a new MVP every week. This MVP for this week is Robert Cole of Anchorage, Alaska. Good guy, Bob Cole. Thank you, Bobby.
I love it when we get our Alaska listeners featured. Even better, this Christmas, we're going to cover the cost of the MVP purchases of five randomly chosen MVP listeners. It's our treat that's truly MVP treatment and a little holiday magic. Anybody can win, and any purchase can win, but MVP purchases have doubled the chance to win this holiday season. Double chances, so you got to enter today. The more you shop, the more your chances to win. So get busy. Go to MikeO'MaraShow.com/Amazon or click the Amazon button on our website or use the TMOS app and click on the shopping cart. Buy stuff, send us proof of purchase, and get ready to win. We're trying to make this our biggest Christmas season for Amazon ever, and good luck. We want you to be our MVP. So, illness, the subject of today. And we're at some point, Rob, we have to get the Edmund Fitzgerald.
Absolutely, Mike. 40 years ago today.
And UFO talk, please.
Yes, please.
Yes, we will. So you got your flu shot done at Target.
I had an appointment to get prescriptions filled with my doctor. The last day we had proper health insurance, and I said to when I made the appointment, I said, I'll also need a flu shot. They said, fine. I love my doctor, and I love getting a flu shot in a proper environment. So then the week of that, Carrie said, everybody get into the car. We're going to Target to get flu shots. And the kids were like, yay, except they weren't. And so we go in. And
you're joking.
Of course they dread it.
Nobody likes needles in your family.
It's a shot. No one likes that. So we go to the pharmacy, and the guy that is running the flu shots, I would say, is he kind of looks like the guy that Judge Reinhold is training in Fast Times at Ridgemont High. What's your secret
sauce? Blonde hair,
sauce?
Big horn rim glasses.
Yeah.
Right?
What's your secret sauce? Ketchup and mayonnaise. Yeah, that's
what's the secret sauce that all American do?
That's the guy. And he's got an ill-fitting pharmacy coat that is a short sleeve pharmacy coat,
and he's like curly in it.
Yeah, and it does, and he's shaky. He's nervous. He does.
Oh,
he's,
that's not good.
And so we all sit down, and he said, "Do you want the privacy screen?" And what they pull out is a aluminum frame about 6 feet tall that you know it folds so it stands.
Let me ask you this. Is it a pharmacist though? It is a pharmacist.
Well, he's behind the pharmacy counter. And I think to be there, you have to be. If he is a true pharmacist,
you can be behind the counter and not be a pharmacist.
They rushed him through the lessons because he looked young. I mean, could have been a prodigy. He could have been Doogie Howser. But he moved the privacy screen. Now, the frame is supposed to hold two panels of red cardboard that is covered with Target logos. But because of it being moved around so much, it's sort of falling apart. So it's sort of a semi-privacy screen.
Right.
And we sit down, and Carrie fills out the paperwork, and he says,
the whole family going to get their shots?
Yeah, all four of us. I've heard originally all three.
The Spiewak.
I don't understand why this is a bad thing and why you find it a problem.
The Spiewak. There we go.
Hey, everybody. Everybody get in the station wagon. We're going to Target to get our flu shots.
That's right. Okay. And so,
don't forget to feed Linus.
And so, I don't understand how this is a problem. I feed my dog. If not, the dog dies.
Dad, is Linus going to get a flu shot? Is Linus going to get a flu shot?
No, son. Dogs don't get flu shots.
He's going to get distemper.
No. Are we going to bring Jabril to get the flu shot?
No. Jabril's not part of our immediate family, but we're all going to go to Target. We're going to all go to Target today.
So, Gary, we fill out the paperwork, and the guy says, we can have the shots ready in about 20 minutes. Come back at about 4. And I look at the clock, and it's 10 minutes. And it's 10 minutes after 3.
What are they brewing them? What are they doing? Is like making it like tea? It's just like a shot.
I just
open the paper bag.
I know. Listen, I don't run the place. And the thing that troubles me is that the Doogie Howser pharmacist's math doesn't add up because 20 minutes would have been 3:30. So he said we're gonna have them ready in 20 minutes. Come back at 4. That was 50 minutes we had to kill at Target.
Burn.
So we're going around, and we finally come back.
Oh, Murray.
Yes.
I'm just playing music for you. Don't get distracted.
Well, I was wondering.
Hey, you have attention deficit disorder.
What's that? So we sit down.
No, it was an old song, and he was like, hey, an
Oscar,
old song.
You know what? Don't help. Now we're talking. So we go to our happy place, and I realize that Carrie gets the flu shot first. Every time the guy does the flu shot, he walks around the counter, back into the pharmacy, gets one flu shot, walks back around the counter, out behind the privacy screen, and gives the shot. Carrie goes first.
So he doesn't bring four
shots.
No,
and I said to, and finally I said,
it's an inefficient.
I said, hey, fella, don't you know you don't have to walk around every time? Because the flu shots are literally reachable distance from where we sit.
Perhaps he wants the exercise, Rob.
I said, you're going to walk 6 miles today.
Perhaps he likes the idea of getting up and, you know, just to keep moving. You know, they say when you're watching a sporting event on television, during every commercial break, you should get out of your seat and walk around.
Walk around.
They say
they should.
That's what I do every time I watch a sporting event. Yeah, every time, Mike.
Every sporting event you
every
watch.
Every sport, whether it be hockey.
Yeah, okay.
Basketball.
I understand.
All of them.
And I totally get
so it. So he does Julia, and he does Carrie's shot, and he does Robert's shot, and he says, all right, Robert Jr.? And I said, Carrie, I didn't want to get a flu shot today. I'm going to get it at my doctor's. She said, oh, I just filled out your paperwork anyway. Don't stop him. It'll be embarrassing.
So are you paranoid about getting it done at the drugstore?
I think there are better places to get a flu shot than
it's
a drugstore.
Same stuff. It's the same exact stuff.
Yeah, you know what, Mike? That's great. You know, you can have surgery and it's still going to be cutting you open, but I'd still rather have it done at a hospital than at a radio station.
Well, I just don't think it's the same serum.
I think it is, because this guy is not a pro, and I could tell because
he's trained. He couldn't give the shot away if he wasn't trained to do it.
I'm sure. Mm-hmm. And you know what? And even
he wouldn't be allowed.
You know, let's say there was 50 people in his class. Okay.
Have you gotten yours, Oscar? Have you gotten your flu shot?
Oh no, no. I figure when I go to Los Angeles for the holidays, I'll get one at my sister's house.
Ah, is she a trained doctor?
Yes.
See, that'll be nice. Yes. But if there are 50 people,
he gets everything. He hasn't paid for a prescription in 20 years. He gets it from his family, his medical family.
Those samples, okay. Mike. Let me tell you. They go a long way.
Oh God! It's like, good morning, Tatiana. Can I go in your bathroom and get the flu shots out of your medical case? That's what I'm going to do.
Don't you have the Percocet? Oh yeah, it's by the peanut butter. Go get it. It's in the pantry. It's in
all
the
doctors'
larder.
Houses. Yeah, all doctors' houses are like that. By the way,
I slipped a disc. Oh, you can do surgery. Why not?
So, honey, do you want toast or a bagel or do you want some Xanax?
Well, if you have the Xanax, you don't care if it's toast or bread.
Mom's really pissing me off. Do you have a muscle relaxer?
Buy the orange juice, dear.
So you got your shot.
For the fourth time, he comes around, and then he puts his shaky, sweaty hand on my arm. Ooh. And
Now, listen, you know what he should do? This is just me. I could be totally wrong.
Right.
But he should probably wash his hands after every single flu shot is given.
One would think.
How about gloves?
You know, as a matter of fact, if there's one thing I would tell you about the drugstore that I'm not happy about when I go in there, there's not a lot of water there. I don't see a sink where
you can
you
know
really,
what? I don't think there is a sink in the pharmacy.
I don't think there's a sink in the pharmacy. It's hard enough to find a bathroom when you go in there.
And
you know?
So I think he might have used a couple squirts of the Purell before the thing went down. But then I get this, and he's... And I swear I feel the needle touch my skin, then go away, then go in. And it's like he's teasing with me. He's like, don't seduce me with the needle, pal. Doogie, give me the shot. And he does it. And
none of your other family members were complaining, though, right?
Well, but you see, they were prepared for the drugstore experience. I was prepared for the doctor experience.
Mm.
And also,
you
know
weird
what,
about,
for years.
Rob's weird about that. Rob won't buy off-brand products either. Because
as a rule, I do not. I don't.
You don't think it's right. You get in your head, this is wrong. It's not right. You shouldn't. And you have not accepted the change that is we can get immunized outside of a doctor's office.
Anywhere.
I embrace that change. You can get flu shots at every drugstore in America.
Well, I'm going to go get a few more before the season is out and figure out the best way to do it. I want to make
sure. Did you have
any
reaction? Did you have any allergic reaction, or did the shots
was just a little bit of itching at the site, and my toe fell off. So
there's a little bit of genital itching.
But it really, and you know, and it's just, it's not, and the other problem is for years we had the best perk of all, which was the flu shots brought to us by nurses in studio. And because I got to scream and yell during the thing, it was shtick, and I never even thought about getting a shot. But a shot sucks. It doesn't hurt.
One of our great traditions on the old Don and Mike show, and I think we did it once on the Mike O'Mara show as well. Mm-hmm. We got our flu shots on the air, and it was always fantastic.
We should try that again here.
The Visiting Nurses Association. Yeah.
You should get flu shots, you know, in the studio.
Let's coordinate.
And,
we can do
and
this.
I'll bring Dr. Who's the Burt Reynolds doctor? I'll bring him down here. You know? University of Rangoon, Dr. Nicholas Van Helsing.
From the University of Rangoon.
Another tendency.
Related tendencies.
Related tendencies. Thank you.
But look at Mike, never healthier, and that young little boy was able to give his shot and still make it to junior prom. So that's good.
Very good. I'm happy for you. And Oscar will get his in Los Angeles. Yes, and Pony, I'm not even going to ask you because I know you haven't gotten a flu shot.
I'm going to my doctor in about a week. No, but
you got to be careful when you give Pony a shot because sometimes the needle comes out the other side.
You waste so much serum.
We've hit bone.
We seem to have broken your femur. Anyway, we'll take a break. Come back with more on the Mike O'Mara Show. All right, calm down. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show.
What's that all about?
This portion of our program is brought to you by Stamps.com. Good news, friends.
Yes.
Mailing your letters and packages just got a lot easier thanks to Stamps.com. With Stamps.com, you can mail and ship anything, anywhere, and all you need is your computer and a printer. It's so easy, anyone can do it. Just click, print, and mail. Ta-da!
There you are. Ta-da!
Stamps.com lets you buy official U.S. postage right from your desk. Stamps.com does all the work for ye. They even provide a digital scale that automatically calculates the exact postage for any letter, any package, any class of mail. Is that easy? It is. Setup is easy, too. In minutes, you'll be printing your own postage and laughing. Ha-ha-ha!
When's the last time you laughed at a post office? You can't.
You're not allowed. No. You'll get arrested if you laugh at a post office. You're laughing because you never have to go to the post office again. We have used Stamps.com for years, and you should too. Stamps.com is the best. Right now, sign up for Stamps.com and use our special promo code TMOS for this special offer. A 4-week trial plus a $110 bonus that includes postage and a digital scale. Don't wait. Go to Stamps.com, and before you do anything else, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in TMOS. That's Stamps.com and TMOS. You will never have to go to the post office again, people. All right, we have to do it now. Let's get it out of the way.
Right.
It's Rob has some anniversary that he wanted to do on the show.
It was 40 years ago, Mike. And I actually did some reading about it today. You see, when I grew up and I heard about the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald, it sounded like a pirate story. Like it must have happened in the 1800s. The boat sank in 1975. I didn't realize it was that recent.
What was it?
It was it would carry ore and mineral.
Iron ore
and things like that on the Great
Lakes.
Real
heavy, easy to sink.
It's a gumi.
Yeah. And it actually went from Duluth, Minnesota to iron works in Detroit, Toledo, and other Great Lake ports. It sunk on November 10th, 1975. And I didn't realize everyone on the boat perished.
Did you ever hear the rip-off song, The Wreck of the Patrick Fitzgerald?
No.
That was not to be confused with The Wreck of the Gerald Fitzpatrick.
No, I didn't know that.
And this song was associated? I don't know the song.
This is Gordon Lightfoot, who is Mike's favorite Canadian troubadour.
That's right.
And his song is in
the
honor
big lake
of
they
it.
Call Gitche Gumee.
Cool.
It's a song about a shipwreck.
Yeah.
Wow. A real shipwreck, though.
Oh, yeah.
On the Great Lakes, and you don't think of lakes as having that kind of weather, but on the Great Lakes, apparently, it's just like being on the ocean. You can get horrible weather.
Wow.
And the Edmund Fitzgerald and the Patrick Fitzpatrick went down because of the, what is it, Rob?
It remains, and along with its crew, it remains on the floor of the water.
Really?
It has never been recovered.
About
10 years ago, recover the bell that actually has Edmund Fitzgerald engraved on it for the family.
You would think that someone would have brought it up by now.
I don't know that they can.
I mean, think of it.
It
was
too deep
and weighed down by all that metal and ore and stuff like that. But anyway, I was doing some reading about it today. It had nicknames, Mike. Did you know it was known as Fitz, Mighty Fitz, Big Fitz, Pride of the American Flag, and the Toledo Express?
Was it one of the biggest ships on the Great Lakes?
Yes,
wasn't it one of the
absolutely.
Biggest ships?
It was, and it launched September 24th, 1958. And also, it was something of a favorite of tourists on the Great Lakes because the captain would play music piped in through the entire boat, and they called him the DJ Captain. So when the Fitzgerald would go by, you'd actually hear music coming from the boat. Mm. But it's a tragic story.
Can I see that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And I've...
By the
do
way,
know
you know what they call the? Do you know what they call the storm?
What's that?
The Witch of November.
Really?
Cartoon size boat. Wow.
It's a massive. Ferocious. The freighter, 1975, the Edmund Fitzgerald sank during a ferocious storm on Lake Superior, killing all 29 aboard. The shipwreck was soon to be made famous by the song you're listening to right now. In the song, the disaster was blamed in part on the Witch of November, which is the source of memorable and fierce storms of the Great Lakes. On the Great Lakes. So when the witch angrily stirs her cauldron, no ship, no matter how large, is safe on the Great Lakes, according to a 1998 article in Weatherwise magazine. So that's apparently this witch, which is what, a meteorological front or a storm front that comes through? I mean, it doesn't happen every November.
La Nina. No,
it's not, or El Nino. It could be either one. But relatives of the survivors are still around, and it's still a very tragic thing. But perhaps the biggest tragedy, Mike, is this song. One of the most universally...
I like this song.
You
I
like this song?
I did do a book report on it. A song report on it.
You did a song report?
Hold on. Wait, you did a book report?
Kill the
song
music.
Report?
Kill the music.
Yeah, in seventh grade, my sociology teacher made us listen to this song like 15 times and write about how it made us feel. It didn't make me feel a whole lot. Dude, I'm telling you, I went to the weirdest school. Fairfax County Public Schools.
Fairfax County Public Schools, some of the finest in the nation,
that's
Tony.
Right. And
well, some of the teachers are weird.
Sociology in seventh grade to this guy?
I was a smart guy.
I was reading about Fairfax County Schools the other day. Hyper-competitive, right? I mean, a tremendously competitive school
system. Not that class.
No. Yeah, well, not that particular class.
Pony had a lot of classes.
Wait a minute, Rob. Yeah. Can I ask you a question, Pony?
Yes.
Did you go to a... Were you in a special class?
Well, define special.
Like the Phoenix?
I mean, were you in a special needs class?
No, I mean, I hovered between the... Well, for math, I
Braids?
Was. Mm-hmm. But then in other courses, I was in the gifted and talented.
Oh,
did you have a lot of classes where they put the desks in a circle and asked how you felt? I had a lot of those classes.
Your teacher played the Edmund Fitzgerald, and then you had to write about how you felt about it?
Yeah, and we had to listen to the song like 10 times. It was awful.
Classic teacher move that I'm going to take the day off, I'm going to smoke a fatty before I walk in, I'm going to play this.
Okay, kids, we're going to play it again. Now listen, pay attention to the lyrics, because a little later on we're going to find out how you feel about it. How does this make you feel? I'm going to play it again. Listen, okay, time's up. Listen, come back Wednesday, we'll play it a couple more times, then by Friday... I want you to make sure you listen to the song and see how you feel. Thank you very
We're
going
to play it again on the 45 RPM record. I'm going to come back and talk to you in 7 minutes and 34 seconds. It's a fade.
Let me just say for our listeners that might not be familiar with this story, the legend lives on from the Chippewa on down on the big lake they call Gitche-Gumee.
The legend lives on from the Chippewa on down. Of the big lake they call Gitche-Gumee.
The lake, it is said, never gives up her dead when the skies of November turn gloomy.
Superior, they said, never gives up her dead when the gales of November come early.
Now, here's a statistic you might not be aware of. In
What's
the
that?
Past 300 years, 30,000 people have died in 10,000 shipwrecks on the Great Lakes.
Did you what?
Damn.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, so they're dangerous.
They are.
The Great Lakes are dangerous.
And you know what? After hearing that, not so great.
No, not Great Lakes at all. That's it. So,
can you name them all?
The Great Lakes?
Yes.
Superior?
Yes.
Huron?
Yes.
Michigan?
Yes.
Sleepy?
Dopey? Sneezy? Hold on.
And Germain.
Superior? Huron? No, I can't.
Is Ontario one of them?
It is. It's Ontario, Huron, yes. Ontario,
Michigan, Erie, and Superior. Their names spell out the word homes.
Erie.
Erie. That's how you remember.
Did you learn it? Did you learn it that way? Is that
yeah, that was, you know
home.
What? When Pony was in the circle talking about how Gordon Lightfoot made him felt, we were taught that if you take the first letter of every great lake, it spells out the word homes.
Nice.
There you go.
Home.
What up, homes?
Did you get it out of your system?
Yes. And rest
you
in peace.
You just sit there at home and you're like, oh, an old song, some history.
Yep. Just like Boner. You sit there at home and say, ah, I'm going to come in late and drink muscle milk.
Boner.
We were talking to Pony about school. Speaking of school, one of the things I did in school was I actually had a research paper. It was not a research paper. It was actually a journalism class where I wrote a story about a lady, I remember the name to this day, at American University. Her name was Roberta Chestnut, and she was the president of the Friendship Business Women's Professional Association. And her claim to fame is that she was a UFO expert.
Ooh.
She was somebody, and I actually went to one of their meetings where
you
they
snowed
would gather.
Your teacher into letting you do that as a project?
Well, no, I didn't snow. My teacher was a legitimate profile piece that I did on the lady feed because she was all about UFOs, and it was pretty damn interesting. I was pretty fascinated by it. I didn't snow her. I wasn't trying to fake her.
Not exactly hard news,
it's
though.
It's not all about getting over, Rob, with a minimum amount of work, which you spent your life doing.
That's
it
true.
It is actually about being diligent and getting out there and doing a report. Which I was very, very proud of. That's why I remember it today.
Breaking barriers.
The reason I brought it up is because, you know what? I truly was fascinated by UFOs, and I wanted to do a story about UFOs, and I am still fascinated by UFOs. And when you see something in the sky, like we saw out in California this week, you wonder, what is the deal? Now, the military is saying this was a missile. You guys are familiar with the little bubble of light that
yes.
is over the airport that we saw the other day. And the problem is, in the land of social media, you will see this incredible video, and then it's not good enough for many people. And it won't be satisfactory just to see an amazing piece of video. People will have to try to pull one over on other people. And
right.
that's why you had the deformed cow embryo that they took a picture of in Pennsylvania like 7 months ago.
I love it.
And then they post it and said, and this was found very close to where the UFO was, a dead alien. Ooh.
It's all sideshow stuff. It really is. What yeah. It's taking sideshow mentality to the next level, dead embryos.
Yeah. So this was in the Washington Post just yesterday where the headline is California missile test, which was a Trident II D5 missile, unarmed.
Right.
It says social media nightmare or exactly what the Navy wanted. Now, a couple of things at play here. If you've seen the videos on social media or on the news.
It's a pretty amazing video because it's a weird light in the sky.
If I was in California or Arizona, I don't blame the people that saw that to say, A, what is coming into Earth's atmosphere? Or B, is that a wormhole forming? What is happening?
And because another thing that made it even
pretty
more
impressive.
Weird is that it wasn't professionally captured. It was phone video, and that makes it look even more surreal when you saw
and
it on the
once internet. Again, the phone video, at least the one that I watched, there were a couple of them.
Yeah, lots of them.
California, it's all over the place. The one I hated was, I love me the home video. I hate the idiot talking.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Wow. What the F is that? Wow. Shut it. Just shut it. Just shut it. Just shut your mouth and let it happen instead of, yeah, ooh, well, shut up. I want to watch the video. Please, douche.
Yep.
Stop talking. Thank you.
So a couple things are at play. And I saw, it's funny that I have some science behind it. On the Weather Channel, we talked about the Weather Channel doesn't have any more weather on it. It has just shows.
Right.
They have a show on the Weather Channel called Three Scientists Walk Into a Bar. And just this weekend, they had an episode where they break down how the atmosphere reflects light. And in turn, to this topic, how the rocket engine on this missile at the exact time between the twilight of and the actual atmospheric forces in the sky that said, okay, we're not just gonna just reflect a little light, we're gonna magnify it to look like it's massive, right?
So because
well, how
of the
do they
way-
do that?
Well, I did. They didn't mean to do that. It just happens in the environment when you have hot air and cold air coming together.
Two fronts met, and by accident, it made the light even more impressive than it might have been.
Let me stop you right there. So we had atmospheric conditions
yes.
that resulted in this rocket that went up causing an anomaly that showed this brilliant light.
Much
this,
like
UFO-like light that we
for
saw.
For an example, when you see a mirage, sometimes what is down will look up, right? You see a reflection.
Sure.
And then you have almost a mirror effect. And then when you actually see a sunset, you're not seeing the sunset. The sun is set. You're just seeing a reflection of the sun going down.
Mm-hmm.
So right. the sun is actually truly set already as the sun is setting. You're just seeing the reflection.
Did this show address, is this sort of like the Northern Lights? Is this what causes
exactly.
the Northern Lights?
Nice pull. Absolutely.
Okay. There you are.
Well, the thing about it is when I did this research paper, the thing that fascinates me about UFOs,
yes.
and there's nothing I'm going to say here that would discount the fact that this was the American
the
military.
The Trident II, baby.
Although UFO people that have studied it and get into it and love the mystery and love the mysticism and love all that crap, they will tell you that the American military for decades has been covering mm-hmm. up the fact
yes.
that there is evidence of extraterrestrial activity. I have no idea what this
is. Area 51, Mike. That's where they keep them all.
This is,
yep, that's
right. This is what I also love. One, you've got a quote here from a state senator from California, Mike McGuire, that just went to Facebook and said, anybody else see a big white ball in the sky? Question mark. That's a state senator.
And
right?
It makes you realize how primitive we truly are.
Yes.
That after all these years, you know, we're not any more sophisticated. We see a big ball in the sky, a big bright light, and we all go, ooh, alien space creatures coming down here. But with that said, I think that's BS. I think it probably was a legitimate explanation. But I still think when you consider the vastness of the universe, when you consider how much is out there, and I forgot what the percentage is of how much we have actually mapped, but I think it's in the single digits of percentage we have, that the most of the universe, most of what's out there, we don't know. So
right.
you would have to be incredibly arrogant to think that there is absolutely no possibility that we, on our little tiny speck of dust, the planet Earth, would be the only intelligent life forms in this vast area. So that's the way.
You narrated an entire 4K series about the cosmos, and they never
yes.
mentioned people in outer space.
But Rob, that cosmos documentary that we did was a relatively minor percentage of the entire universe. That's all we know. What you were saying was what's out there in our solar system that we have mapped, that we have found out about. There's so much more out there that we have not.
Not even sure there's people in Alaska. I don't know.
Seen them.
Let me ask you legitimately. Do
right.
you really not believe? That
I do
there
not
is
believe there's
intelligent
there's,
life out outside of the
no,
planet Earth.
No, I think that the
why.
I just think this is where it be is the be all end all. I that's the way I feel.
Be all end all.
It is.
Yeah.
I think that
it's the cat's pajamas, baby.
Absolutely.
So you think that we're
it's
it?
The bee's knees.
Yeah.
Yes,
I think that Earth is where the, I think this is where the life is. That's what I think.
The only place in the entire like solar system that that where there's life.
Well, certainly
or in the entire universe.
Certainly in the solar
universe.
System.
No, universe.
Universe. Yeah, sure. Because we would know something by now. If they
no,
were,
because they what if they
we
were
haven't
like
done
us?
Enough
what
research.
If they were like us? If they were like us, they couldn't get to us, and we can't get to them. That's what I think. I think that there's no way that we would be that I would think there wasn't a possibility of more out there.
Here's what I know is that every time you do any sort of wave-based communication, radio or cell phone or television, the waves don't go away. They keep going forever.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't we have picked something up by now? Something.
I saw contact. I don't know if that it actually works that way. But what I do know is that every time like a new probe lands on Mars or a different planet
right.
and we learn something new about that planet, I realize how much we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
We don't know what's on those planets, right?
Yeah, we don't. We really, really, really don't know. And I think
maybe
that
they're not talking. Maybe it's all telepathic, right?
Could so
you're
not
by get the way, sound waves back.
By
or,
the way, it, to me, if you talk about my little bucket list of things I would
Mars?
Love to see happen, it would just be spectacular if that day ever came. I just think the world is such an angry place, and there's, you know, we kill each other and we blow each other up.
You don't think
up,
those
and religion and
people
stuff.
Or those aliens aren't angry?
I think that I fantasize about the fact that If we found out that there was something else out there, perhaps it would give us a little perspective that we're not everything. And now, our belief systems aren't everything. And
that being said, that is great. And I would love to see if that could happen. I'd love to be proven wrong, especially if it could improve the way things are now. However, there's every chance that they're all dicks, too, if they come here. I mean, it could be bad.
Or, you know, like all the movies we've seen, that they're going to, you know, drill into our forehead and blow our cities up.
Exactly. Know, this could happen,
world
too.
World killers.
Yeah. Right, yeah. So, you never know.
Do you have to roll the dice?
Just quickly, the other thought is that the Navy, especially with the heightened tensions around the world, is just flexing its muscles by launching this missile and letting everybody see, especially the Chinese and the Russians, let them know what's what. That we can still launch from a submarine and we can control it. And it's just like they test overseas, we're doing our own tests.
I like that idea. I think that's valid.
I don't know. I still also fantasize that the United States doesn't need to do that, that we don't need to do that kind of propaganda. But, you know, there's rattling the saber. We've done that before. We've showed the strength, so who knows?
And we know it's not an alien thing, because when it's aliens, they always say the same thing. It was a weather balloon.
Weather balloon. We'll take a break. Come back with news you may not need. You are listening to the Mike O'Mara Show, everybody.
Americast is back. New studio, new sound, stereophonic, Technicolor, all around more Mermelstein. Every Monday, download it from iTunes or from the TMOS app. Just two clicks and you can be caught up with more. Sponsored in part by, do you enjoy water sports, but the sea doesn't agree? Try Captain Jack, attorney at law.
I'm not sure what they're smoking up there in Vermont, but Serta's promos are getting weirder.
Mike, I'm not sure there's intelligent life on this nation.
Exactly. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Nuts.com. Roll into your grocery store and take a look at the nut section in the grocery store, and you'll kind of go, meh.
Yeah.
You'll look at that and say, this isn't what I'm all about. How would you like to have the best, absolutely the best quality you can get in a great website? Check out Nuts.com, the best tasting nuts on the planet with the convenience of shopping the internet. The best website ever. We love it. Great pictures, easy to navigate, easy to search. Ordering is an absolute breeze. They ship fast, and the snacks are so delicious. Right now, new customers can get 4 free samples when you go to Nuts.com and use the code TMOS. That is a $15 value. You would be nuts not to do it, people. Your satisfaction is 100% guaranteed and has been since the company was founded in 1929. We've all gotten our nuts from Nuts.com. They are delicious. Nuts.com, more than just nuts, too. They've got 3,000 snacks.
Yep.
Dried fruits, sweet treats, cooking and baking goods like almond flour, chia seeds, grains, any powder you want to throw into your smoothie, plus coffees, teas, sugar-free and gluten-free snacks, and gifts galore. Yes, Oscar
Mike,
Santana.
Mike, perfect for the holidays. You got company coming over, families coming to town. Stock up.
Stock up, absolutely.
Nuts, nuts, nuts.com. Big, salty, sweet, whatever kind you like to munch on. Let them take care of you and your taste buds. Right now, new customers get 4, count them, 4 free samples. Choose from over 50 options. That's a $15 value when you go to Nuts.com and use the code TMOS. That's Nuts.com and the code TMOS for 4 free samples with your order. Minimum purchase required. Thank you, Nuts.com.
News.
News.
I was talking about my illness today, ladies and gentlemen. Slather your body in Purell because the world is desperately trying to infect you right now. A new study found that you're more likely to get a cold during the first 2 weeks of November than any other time of the year.
Really? I always thought it would be later in the year, like a February cold.
I would think the same thing. That doesn't mean we all feel great the other 50 weeks out of the year. The study also found that between illnesses, headaches, hangovers, and injuries, the average person only feels 100% healthy 171 days out of the year.
Wow.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah,
That means
hangovers.
You spend about half your life feeling like something is wrong.
Yeah.
Hi.
That's about
Hi,
right.
Everybody. This is definitely the worst time of the year, though. The average person skips 6 social events in the winter because they're just not feeling up to going. So that is a very interesting little factoid that I thought I'd share.
Wash right your hands.
Lorena Bobbitt was on the Steve Harvey Show yesterday. It's been 22 years since she cut off John Bobbitt's manhood after he allegedly abused her. She said he's tried to reach out to her over the years, but she's always deleted his number. I'm just stunned that she's still talking about this, and they're still lingering. It's scary. She's also remarried now, has a 10-year-old daughter, and she says her husband has never brought up her past. She talked about her new domestic violence organization, and she seems genuinely interested in helping women handle abuse the right way, rather than chopping off the thing.
Did you watch the clip? Did you watch the clip with Steve Martin? No. He's great. He's so great. He says, really? I understand kind of why you did it, but why did you run away with it?
and she threw it into a field, right?
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Out in like Manassas.
I remember when that story came over the wire. I was in the lobby of WJFK.
Only the classiest people, Oscar, out there.
I remember in the lobby of WJFK when the story started to break and the details trickled out, and Miss Terry, who was our receptionist, said, she threw it in a field.
That is so great. Yeah.
So I guess he's reached out to her, but she don't have anything to do with him. And he's like done porno and stuff like that. After Johnny Depp's Jack Sparrow is probably going to go down as one of the most famous and beloved characters. But when he was making the first Pirates of the Caribbean movie, nobody understood what the heck he was doing with it. You know, you see that character, and you know it's kind of like, what's he going for?
Yeah.
Here,
mm-hmm.
You know. In fact, he says the CEO of Disney at the time, Michael Eisner. Michael Eisner, a wonderful human being, wanted to fire him. He says, quote, I heard he went on some sort of vent about how, gosh damn it, Johnny Depp's ruining the film. What is it? What's that thing? Is it drunk? Is it gay? So he fully expected to be fired.
Wow.
It didn't happen, obviously. The movie was huge. There have been 3 sequels so far, and the franchise has grossed $3.73 billion.
With a B. You know, and the movie doesn't work without him. Whatever it is he's doing is what holds the movies together. Yeah.
I agree.
It says here a 5th movie is coming out in 2017. It also earned Johnny his first Oscar nomination. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
He was nominated for Best Actor. Since then, he's also been nominated for Finding Neverland and Sweeney Todd. You know, Johnny Depp does some weird stuff, but that's his franchise, and I think that allows him to do all the other weird projects that he does on a regular
basis. He's been nominated for Pirates and other movies that people don't see.
Finding Neverland was a sweet movie. I love that movie.
Yeah, it's a good film.
Very, very good. The View has been floundering for a while, but Radar Online claims that ABC has found a possible solution. And that solution is Gwyneth Paltrow.
Oh, wow.
They have reportedly given her a 7-figure offer to join the panel, and if she turns them down, the show could be canceled. A source says, quote, they're in real trouble, and everyone on that panel right now are all second and third choices. Barring a miracle or a surprise talent coming aboard, this could be the show's final season. So that's what they're saying about
it. How long has it been on? It's been on a long time. 20 years? Is that overstating it?
Yeah, The View was great for a while. Everybody they've brought in to replace the people that leave. There was great tension on that show, and it just seems to be, it is floundering. I really do believe that.
Yeah.
If you're growing your facial hair this month for whatever you're supposed
Movember.
To
do,
November.
Listen up. We've got the results of a survey from Match.com about how your new look is going to play with the ladies. 73% of women say they find facial hair attractive, but it seems like most of them mean beards because only 25% say they date someone with a mustache. Women say the best kind of facial hair is some stubble. Oscar will be happy to hear that.
Oh, yes. Fine.
Hey, everybody on staff today bearded, I believe.
Yes.
Yeah, even a slight beard on what's his name? Adrian.
The magician's beard. Diego.
Forgive me.
The other brown guy is Adrian.
For mustaches, the most attractive kind is a nice, normal, thin one. Goatees are second. Thank you.
Nice.
Thank you, everybody. The worst kinds are the full handlebar mustaches and the crazy old wizard look where you rock a long beard. Only 4% of women say those are attractive.
I'm Daniel glad, Simpson I Day.
So, there you go. I got that going for me, which is nice. And now a little something. How many shots would you have to do before you genuinely believe the Civil War had broken out again? The answer is however many shots this guy did. 59-year-old Gary Allen Lane of McIntosh County, Oklahoma, was drunk on Friday, and he happened to stumble onto a Civil War reenactment. It's not clear if he wanted to help the Union or the Confederacy, but he grabbed his sawed-off shotgun and started firing at the fake soldiers.
Oh, my God.
Maybe he just hates Civil War reenactors like me. Fortunately, no one was badly hurt. Only one guy took a shot in the arm, but he was fine. Gary was arrested for reckless conduct with a firearm, assaulted battery with a deadly weapon, possession of a firearm while under the influence, malicious injury to property, and resisting arrest. I guess he resisted at the end.
Sure.
Please, people, remember, guns don't kill Civil War reenactors. Idiots do. Thank you. There you go, Gary Lane.
Gary Lane!
We'll take a break. Come back with the Audio Vault and Rob Spiewak right here on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Hey, everybody, it's Kevin McCarthy here, geeking out. Let me tell you all about Cake and Cookies.
Wow, Rob Spiewak's on that show.
Wait, who?
Rob Spiewak.
I have no idea who that person is.
Yeah.
What I do is when I download the podcast, I edit all the cake parts out, and I just listen to the cookie part. So big ups to Cake. I love Cake.
For more information, visit morebroadcasting.com.
Cake and Cookies, the podcast that has nothing to do with cake or cookies. It's Rob and Katie.
Just a scary thought that someday there will be a little Kevin McCarthy running around.
Yes.
Isn't that amazing? Yes. Congratulations.
Little tiny high tops.
OCD.
OCD. Yes. Driving around the block many times before he goes into the radio station. No. Congratulations to Kevin on his engagement. And,
yes.
Thank you for that promo. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Blue Apron. Yay. Let's face it. You need to know how to cook. You can finally put your kitchen to good use. Besides, cooking at home means eating healthier and saving money. I want to thank everybody that's reached out to my wife, Carla, who posts pictures of her wonderful Blue Apron meals that she cooks for yours truly. We really do appreciate that. Where do you start with Blue Apron? Well, they've got you covered. For less than $10 a meal, Blue Apron delivers all of the fresh ingredients you need. They not only deliver you the ingredients, but you've got all of the instructions there. There are beautiful pictures that show you how to make this fantastic food, and each meal can be prepared in 40 minutes or less. That means no more overwhelming trips to the grocery store and no more sad takeout. Plus, you'll be cooking with ingredients you've never used before. That actually teaches you,
yes.
Educates you. You'll love it, and it's all delicious, like watermelon radishes, farro, and purple potatoes. Fantastic. How about this? Chicken cow soy soup with yellow curry and rice noodles. I love it when they do their Asian
good stuff.
Their Asian cooking. It's fantastic. Or quinoa fried rice with tofu. All very unique ingredients and all delicious. Right now, you can get your first two meals by going to blueapron.com/TMOS. Our treat, really. The first two meals are on us when you go to blueapron.com/TMOS. Blue Apron is a better way to cook. Let's open up the audio vault for Tuesday, November 10, 2015. Rob Spiewak.
I wasn't going to lead with this, except it really came up on the show. Do you know who really does believe in UFOs is Nick Jonas, the youngest of the Jonas Brothers, who has right now got a small recurring role on the show Scream Queen.
Yes.
And they asked him about UFOs. He said he spotted one about a few years ago.
This was probably 8 years ago. I was in my backyard in L.A. and looked up in the sky and there's three flying saucers. Well, and I looked at my friend and I said, are you seeing this or am I losing my mind? And he was seeing the same thing. And then I went online and looked and there were three identical sightings 2 weeks before.
What's weird to me is I think you automatically lose credibility if you say flying saucer. That to me sounds very much like a 1950s movie.
Well, also after our discussion, maybe it was more those test firing of the rockets. Maybe that's a lot of military activity.
But three is weird, right?
I don't know.
Weather balloon. Who's funny is Ryan Reynolds from the movie Deadpool. He did a short video, like a 10-second video this week. He's in his Deadpool makeup. He looks like a fire survivor, a burn victim all over his face, and he's doing his impression of Hugh Jackman. So when you listen to this, no, this is not Hugh Jackman. This is Ryan Reynolds in really hideous makeup.
G'day, mate. Hugh Jackman here. Just reminding you to get your votes in for People's Sexiest Men Alive. Cover's coming up.
That's it. Put that online, and you just see him naked from like the chest up in that horrible makeup. Love it.
G'day, mate. Thank you.
Now, I'm surprised you didn't cover this because you are my go-to source for Justin Bieber news, Mike.
Yeah, Mike.
Let
me tell you. Can I tell you why?
Yes,
this is
please.
This is why I did not report on Justin Bieber on Ellen. I didn't report on that because I figured it was too positive for the Biebs.
Ooh.
So I edit out. I usually, my criteria here is my modus operandi is that I will not include stories that are positive about the Biebs.
Understood.
And this one makes me just, this is just another big story for Justin Bieber.
Whoa!
And I don't like. So do you have? You have it, right?
I have the audio. No, but well, I don't necessarily going
to
play.
Get ready to throw up.
I liked it because I thought that Ellen had a good punchline on it.
She's funny.
She's funny.
She's vanilla.
But also, this made me start to wonder if maybe, just maybe, he could have been in on it because the spin is so positive right now. For him.
Yeah, with it's totally positive. And it might be, I think it might be a prosthetic, to be honest with you.
Really? You think that far?
Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah, absolutely. Prosthetic, walk out on your patio, show the world how big your unit is, and suddenly you're not, believe me, don't underestimate penis size in the American public.
Hear, hear. And remember that, Pony.
Let's listen. I haven't heard it. I haven't heard the clip. So.
Here, that they Ellen asked Justin. That's what's going to be on our Christmas t-shirt.
It'll be in our coffee book.
Ellen said, when did you find out about the fact that the picture had been taken and, pardon the phrase, Mike, leaked?
Pretty much like a couple days. It was like a couple days later, Scooter hit me. He was like, yo.
And also, nice phrasing on his part. This is how he answers the question once again.
Pretty much like a couple days. It was like a couple days later, Scooter hit me. He was like, yo, I hate to tell you this, but your penis is on the internet. I was like, what? How does it? And so then the first thing I saw was like the censored one, and it had like the black thing over it, and I'm like, oh my goodness.
All right, pause
like,
it.
I don't.
Yeah, it's a total scam. It's a total, he is, at, not that it might be him, but it might be him because he thinks it's going to be good hype
right.
for him.
Right. Well, if you're packing like that.
Rat. Yeah. If you're really packing like that, it's not going to hurt him. I mean, he's happy. Listen how happy he is about his unit being on the internet.
Yeah.
He's great.
There you go.
Thank you. There you go. Sorry, you can't play anymore of it. Oh. F you, Justin.
But
thank you.
Look at the bright side. We got to the bottom of it. We figured it out. The Huffington Post did a compelling list of songs that the covers are better than the actual song.
Ooh.
And here are four that I thought that were towards the top. One for me is very obvious. As a matter of fact, the Bob Dylan version of All Along the Watchtower is not a song that I like at all. However, when Jimi Hendrix does it...
That's a cover?
Yep, Bob Dylan.
I didn't even know that was a cover.
No.
I had no idea that was a cover.
Mm-hmm. Bob Dylan record.
Really?
Wow.
That's the definitive version of that song.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow, a cover.
I never heard the Bob Dylan one.
Actually, the problem, the Bob Dylan record was not successful because right when it came out, they released a picture of him naked at a swimming pool, and they saw Bob Dylan's penis.
Yes.
One of the definitive, what they call yacht rock records, Jerry Rafferty's song Baker Street with the sax solo in it.
It's another one I didn't know was a cover.
Well, that's not a cover, but the Foo Fighters covered it.
Nope.
Great song. Great song.
Okay, I really like the cover.
The Jerry Rafferty version's better.
I don't know the Jerry Rafferty version.
You don't know that?
No.
Huh. Okay, I'll play it for you.
Thank you.
But before that, Jeff Buckley covering Leonard Cohen and the beautiful song Hallelujah. This is a cover by Jeff Buckley. And I've seen
your flag on the marble arch. A cover?
Yep. That love is not a
victory march. It's a cold 1996. Solid year.
Beautiful song.
Really
beautiful.
A great song.
Remember singing the song while I was high for one of the very first times.
Oh, God.
Well, the first
Can
time
you
guys
even
got high?
One of the very first times, Ocean City Beach Week. Found out what weed was. Love Jeff Buckley.
Here's the.
It was this and Bone Thugs and Harmony.
Just picturing you high singing that song is very, very humorous.
I'm surprised you lived to tell about it. Here's the original Baker Street. Oscar is what it sounds like.
This is you probably have heard this. Yeah. Let me tell you something. The thing that's great about this particular song, when you're a disc jockey and you got a lot of time to fill in, you might be working for one of those radio stations that actually tells you you can only talk over the intro and you don't have a lot of time to talk, period, because all you're doing is playing records. This had a fantastic intro with a great sax solo too, a ghostly saxophone solo you can hear in the back of Jerry Rafferty's Baker Street, a fantastic song. They practically play the entire record. Absolutely spectacular. Play it again, Sax.
Yeah, we're going to do it again. The second verse is a super long intro, and it goes on and on and on. And I'll tell you something. I played this about 1,100,000 times. Jerry Rafferty and Baker Street right here on Power 105 WABA.
This song is better than the cover. Yes, and I know the song. You're right.
Before we close the vault, the only reason there's a sax there is because the electric guitarist didn't show up to the session. And there was a guy with a saxophone. He said, I can do that lead. And that's what made the record.
That's one of the best saxes ever. Great musical tribute. Would not have been a hit without the sax.
That is your Magic Audio Vault. Have a great Tuesday, everybody.
Good stuff. I like that. That's cool. Very cool, Rob. That's it. Another Mike O'Mara Show come and gone. Be sure and join us again for more fun and more thrills at MikeO'MaraShow.com. If you want to correspond with the show with a letter or package, send it to TMOS, Box 2796, Leesburg, Virginia, 20177. To get your message or birthday request into the Wednesday mailbag,
tomorrow,
email Rob with two B's at MikeO'MaraShow.com. We rely on your word of mouth. Tell everybody about our MVP contest. Shop through our Amazon page, please. We're trying to make this Christmas season the biggest one ever for Amazon and TMOS. For Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana, Mike O'Mara inviting you to join us again for another episode of the Mike O'Mara Show. Bye-bye, everybody.
So long.
Ciao, ciao.
Hey, not so fast, Mr. Big Shot. I got to tell you that MikeO'MaraShow.com/Amazon is the best way to shop for anything and everything. So shop Amazon and use our website. Always open at MikeO'MaraShow.com/Amazon. Now go in peace.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.